Commence our reading tonight at verse 8, and we'll read on to the end of verse 22. Try our best to cover that, see how far we get. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, but delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them for a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. May the Lord bless to us the reading of these verses. Now let us keep in mind what the main theme is of the whole chapter, and really commencing back in chapter 10, that the just shall live by faith, which suggests that it's a life lived on the principle of faith. We saw how that before the flood, the age before the flood, that Abel and Enoch and Noah all acted in faith. Now keep in mind, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It would appear that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, the communication they had with God was this, that God came down and spoke to them. God fellowshiped with them. They heard the voice of God in the garden. That is, they gave their ear to what God had to say to them. I don't know what God said to them. Of course, it's not recorded for us really, except the warnings that were given about the tree they were not to touch. But these three, Abel, Enoch, and Noah, also received messages from God because they acted in faith, and faith cometh by hearing. So while the world around them couldn't possibly have been listening to God, nevertheless, God was sending his messages to his servants, and they acted in faith. But now the flood passes, and you go back to the book of Genesis. There are two chapters there that are very interesting. Chapters 10 and 11 of Genesis are wedged right in there and cover quite a period of time, two chapters. In these chapters, you see how the human race developed after the flood, and how soon after the flood that men departed from God. They weren't listening to God then. They built the Tower of Babel, which was a religious gathering center, and they were worshipping the stars. That's what the Tower of Babel was. An idol temple, we would call it today, and it finished up in confusion. But when you get to the end of chapter 11 of the book of Genesis, there's a little genealogy, very interesting, which leads you right on to Abraham. The section we have read tonight from verse 8 to the end of verse 22, if you want the historical background to these verses, you'd have to read from Genesis 12 to Genesis 50. These are the chapters that give us the historical background and the records that God has given to us of these men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. These four take up the whole of that section of Genesis. But the Holy Spirit given us his commentary on it, has brought it right down to these verses we have read. And these men all acted in faith. Now suppose you were to take time to go back to the book of Genesis, which I suppose all of you have done at some time or other, and you have read those chapters. You would be impressed with the fact that Abraham was not a perfect man. And certainly Isaac wasn't. And as for Jacob, you have all sorts of things to say about Jacob. And then even Joseph. He was a little proud at times, you know, but God dealt with them and God used them. So when you read through the historical record, you notice that these men were just human like us. Men of like passions such as we are. And they made mistakes. But when you come to the commentary written here in Hebrews 11, their mistakes aren't mentioned, passed over. What is pinpointed here is the fact that they did something on the principle of faith, and God takes note of that and tells us about it. Notice, by faith Abraham, verse 8, verse 9, by faith he did certain things. Then you have a little bit that comes in about his wife Sarah. Then you come to verse 17, by faith Abraham, so on. See, what is pinpointed here is what he did on the principle of faith. He starts off at that point when he was living away down in Ur of the Chaldees. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out. Now, have you ever asked yourself this question? How and why did God call Abraham? There must have been thousands of people living in Ur of the Chaldees. Because at the time when Abraham was there, it was quite an advanced civilization. They've proved that recently with the pick and the shovel when they've been excavating. It was quite an advanced civilization. And he was called to go out. Now, why Abraham? Abraham had brothers. They weren't called. And while his father went out with him and went part of the journey and then died, his father never went into the promised land. Abraham. The more you consider that and think of it, God looking down on the human race. And this is like a new start, a new figurehead. You see, he started with Adam. The devil came in. Sin came in. After the flood, here was Noah and his three sons. And how soon things were corrupted again. But now God says we'll have a new start. And he calls this man called Abram, and later on changed his name to Abraham. He was called. Why did God call him? Why did God call you? Weren't there others living in the same street as you were living? Isn't it true there were others in the same circumstances as yourself? It's perhaps true, if I may say this, that the night you got saved there were other people in the same service as you and didn't trust the Lord. Have you ever asked yourself, why me? God called Abraham by faith. Abraham, when he was called, see, faith cometh by hearing, and God called Abraham. And when you go to Acts chapter 7, it says the God of glory appeared to Abraham when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, and it was then that he responded. Here then was the promptness of faith. When God called Abraham, he promptly obeyed and went out, placing his entire future and well-being on God's words. If God has said it, that's enough. God called Abraham. Faith. You know, faith in God to the worldling is a most unreasonable thing. It doesn't look wise. I knew a young fellow, teenager. He was working in a certain factory, and he was not making a lot of money in these days, but he was doing fairly well in the job he was in compared to others. And the foreman came to him one day and he said, look, we're going to have a vacancy in such and such a department. Now I think you're the young fellow for it. I'm proposing to the manager that you be promoted to that place. He says, no, I don't want it. He says, what? He says, I don't want it. He says, don't you know, lad, the prospects there? He says, you'll be trained up in there, and in 3 years' time, you'll be able to command certain wages. I said, I don't want it. He says, during those 3 years, he says, I'll be getting less there than what I'm getting the job I'm in. Yeah, but see what you'll get after that when you're through. Well, he says, after I'm through in 3 years, he says, I'm going to be a missionary. The foreman looked at me and said, you're turning down this offer for the sake of going to be some kind of preacher, a missionary? Yes, that's what I intend doing. The man shook his head. It seemed the most unreasonable thing for a young fella to refuse promotion with great prospects, because he had made up his mind he wanted to be a missionary. I knew him. And he did become a missionary. But you see, the man of the world who doesn't know the Lord can't understand that. It doesn't make sense to them. Abraham, you seem to be loading up your donkeys and you're packing all your grips. Where are you going? Don't you know this is the finest city in the whole earth? Out of the Chaldees. We've got things here they haven't got in any other city. Do you know that folks are living in tents? 2 miles away from us here, where we've got our houses here. All our modern amenities. Where are you going? He says, I don't know. You're going away from Ur of the Chaldees and you don't know where you're going? I don't know. And why are you going then? Because God has called me. I've heard the call from God. In plain words, I've put my hand in God's hand, and if God's leading, I'll just follow. That's faith. I'm trusting God. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. But sufficient for him that God told him he was to go to another place. That's faith. You know, if you go back in thought, the day that you trusted the Lord, you didn't know very much. None of us did. We couldn't have told the way of salvation, I don't suppose, to others. We couldn't have told them what justification was. It's perhaps a strange word to us. You didn't know you were justified with God. All you knew was that you were a poor sinner, convicted of your sin, that you needed a Savior, and the best way you knew, you trusted the Savior. Just as simple as that. That's about all you knew. But if someone had come along and tried to argue with you, you'd have said, well, listen, I can't argue with you, but I know that last night I trusted the Lord and I'm saved. That's it. And little by little you went on. Now James, in his epistle, the next one after Hebrews, he speaks of the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. Now again, try and capture the years since that first time you heard the call, you responded, and you trusted the Savior. Have you been tested? Have you had the trial of your faith? I know you have. Everyone has. Some to a greater extent than others. But Abraham went on. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, dwelling in tents or in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Can you think of this man leaving again his home and out of the Chaldees, and for the rest of his life he was a tent dweller? Now I know some people who go on vacation, and it's a good thing to go camping. When we were quite young, I mean, four of us at one time, we pooled our resources. It weren't very much, but we pooled our resources. We bought ourselves a tent, and we were going to go camping, and we did. I'll never forget some of those first experiences at camping. I remember the first night getting up during the night and getting the mallet. Making a hole in the ground to get my elbow in and my shoulder in there. Another one for my head. It's different lying on the ground with a ground sheet below you than lying in a soft bed. But we went camping. It was nice. But you're always glad to get back home to get a good sleep after being away a week camping. And then making the food, that's another thing. But to think of people living in tents. And if you were seeing those tents that they have out in the Middle East, those people that wander around with tents, they're not like the things you'd buy in Sears Roebuck's or any other place. They're like old patchwork sheepskins, and I don't know all they've got. They remind me very much of the gypsies, of the thinkers we had at home. You know, these people would come at night, they'd pitch their tents on some old waste piece of ground, and they might stay there for 2 or 3 days and try and sell things around your door, and then you go along someday and they're off. They never stayed very long. You see, they didn't have any rights of citizenship. Neither had Abraham. Abraham had no rights of citizenship all the years he lived in Palestine. It was the promised land. It was still promised. He hadn't got possession of it. The only little portion he had of that land, he had to buy it. He bought that little portion in which to bury his wife when she died. He was a sojourner in the land of promise. And you see, God had promised him that he'd make of him a great nation. And here he is, he's an old man, he had no family. How could God possibly keep his promise to Abraham? I have no family. And my wife is so old, she can't have a family now, according to the course of nature. His faith was being tested, tried. Now remember this, you go back to the historical record. Abraham had faith to believe God. It's a very important verse. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You get that in Genesis 15. But while he had faith to believe God, he didn't have the patience to wait God's time. Oh, that's not mentioned here in Hebrews 11. That's moved over. There's nothing here about Ishmael at all. But Ishmael was Abraham's son, you know. But not the son of promise. You see, if we're going to have faith in God, we've also to have the patience of faith to wait God's time. But what we find here is this, that when God's time came, God gave him Isaac, the son of promise. That's why that Sarah is brought in here. Nothing here about the Egyptian maid, Hagar. It's Sarah. You see, God gave Sarah the strength or the power to bear the child even when she was beyond the time of nature. But here was the promptness of faith when he left out of the Chaldees. He obeyed God. There was the pilgrimage of faith. All the years after that, that he lived in the promised land, he was just a tent dweller. They couldn't have made him the mayor of the town, you know. He couldn't have ran for office. He couldn't even have voted. He didn't have any citizen's rights. He was a stranger. He was a sojourner. And then there's the productiveness of faith. When God's time came, he gave him Isaac. And from Isaac, there has developed numerous people, countless as the stars of heaven or the sands upon the seashore. But now there's the prospect of faith. He's looking forward. He had left out of the Chaldees, but by the way, what became of our other Chaldees? Abraham is looking for a city which has foundations, whose maker and builder is God. He left what man had built. He goes out in faith and he's looking forward. There is the prospect of faith. And he died in faith. And someday he'll get all that God promised him. But now there's the proving of his faith. Take three times in his life when it had to be proved. Abraham, you're all right down here. Everything's going well for you. You're an intelligent man. You've got everything the world can provide. But come on. I want you to come with me. And Abraham obeyed, not knowing where God was going to lead him. He believed God. It was a great test. But then there came the other time, as we have referred to here. There was the test with Isaac. Could he wait God's time? But God kept his promise and he gave him Isaac. But now the great, great test came. Genesis 22. Now Abraham, I want you to take that son Isaac, your only son Isaac, for by that time Ishmael has been turned out. Now you're left with Isaac. I want you to take Isaac. Take him to the place I'll tell you of. And I want you to lay Isaac on the altar. I want you to offer Isaac to me on the altar. Oh, what a test. The trial of his faith. The proving of his faith. If he believed God when he left out of the Chaldees and left the possessions behind him, is he prepared now to believe God and trust God when God says, put your son on the altar? I've often tried to picture in my mind that morning when he left. I wonder where Sarah was. Do you think Sarah came to the tent door and watched them as they went away, going down that little winding road perhaps? The donkey and the servants and the wood. I think Sarah knew where they were going or what they were going to do. Perhaps she shed a tear. And off went Abraham with Isaac and the servants. It was a test for her. It was a test for Abraham. And Isaac, you remember, said, "Where's the lamb?" No, it was a test when they got up to the place and he made his altar. And he laid Isaac on the altar. And he took the knife. He had gone the full length. God says, enough. Enough. You see, it wasn't Isaac's life that God wanted. It was Abraham's heart. Abraham was prepared to give all that he had. That which God had given him, the best. In Isaac was all the promises. And he laid Isaac before God, the proving of his faith. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What a day when God said, "Finish, stop, Abraham," and he turned, and there was the ram caught by its horns in the thicket, becoming the substitute for Isaac. Now look, all these verses have to do with Abraham, the man who acted in faith. But now Isaac, Jacob and Joseph only get one verse each. And you know, when children are in the Sunday school, they love the stories about Isaac. There's not much said about him. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's all it said. Seems to be the only thing he did by faith. And it's very strange. When he was going to do this, he was going to do it in the strength of the flesh. But something intervened. And do you remember the time when Jacob came in and really deceived his old father? And when he blessed Jacob there, he thought he was blessing Esau. He wasn't. But when you come to the next chapter, chapter 28, he knows the whole thing, and he submits to what God has said, and he pronounces the blessing upon Jacob. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. See, Jacob's mentioned first, although Esau was the firstborn. The blessing goes to Jacob. Now you come to Jacob. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Very important thing. Jacob now blesses the two boys, the sons of Joseph. They were his grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh. Do you remember how he did that? Here Joseph brings his two sons forward, and there's the old father on the bedside. And he brings the oldest, he brings Manasseh forward in his left hand, in order for his father's right hand to go on the head of Manasseh, and for his left hand to come on the head of Ephraim. But old Jacob, although he can't see, he's blind, he crosses his hands, and he puts his right hand, the right hand blessing comes on the head of Ephraim, and the left hand on the head of Manasseh. "Oh no," says Jacob, "Dad, you're making a mistake. This is Manasseh, and this..." He said, "My son, I know. I know." You see, there's the blessing there of the cross. and the blessing goes to the youngest. The blessing, the right hand blessing, goes on the head of Ephraim. And that is what's mentioned here. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and that's how he did it. And he worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Oh, what a crowning event. Having pronounced a blessing on his two grandsons, then he takes his staff, is leaning on the top of his staff, and he worships God by faith. If he didn't act by faith during his lifetime, for you remember the crooked things he did, at least in his closing moments, in his closing days, all his confidence was in God. And that's what's taken note of here in Hebrews 11. Then Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. The prophecy of faith. He prophesied that God would visit them, and God would take them out of that country and take them into the land of promise. And to prove it, he says, don't take me up there and bury me now. That's what they did for Jacob. They went up and buried his father, then they come back. He said, don't do that with me. Just put me in a coffin down here in Egypt and keep my casket here until God keeps his promise. And when God keeps his promise and takes you out of the land of Egypt, take my bones with you. And they did. You know, that was the longest funeral procession on record, I believe. Over 40 years, they carried that coffin with them. Think of those who were born while they were going through the world. Why are we carrying that? That contains the bones of Joseph. The body of Joseph is in there. And he told us that God would visit us and take us out of Egypt, and he's going to take us into the land of promise. And when they got into the land of promise, they buried him at Shechem. And Joseph's bones were buried in the land. But he prophesied by faith. He knew that they were not to stay in Egypt. They were going out. So these verses from verse 8 to verse 22 cover that whole period, from Genesis 12 to Genesis 15. And there are four men during that period of time who acted in faith. Life lived on the principle of faith. God takes note of what we do by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each one here tonight. We think of the various families that are represented. We ask thy blessing upon them. Again, we pray for the problems that different Christians have got to face. Oh God, wilt thou give them wisdom each time? When decisions have to be made, may they make them wisely. Bless each one day by day. And those who have been mentioned tonight who are sick, oh God, for them we pray for a very special blessing. Look down in mercy upon them. Give each one a good night's rest tonight. We ask it, giving thanks in the Savior's name. Amen. Service is over.